Hi guys. Sorry, Laura. I'm gonna start. First of all, let me say it's good to see all of your beautiful faces. A, because I haven't seen you all in a really long time. B, why does my view keep on changing? I want to see everybody's faces. Okay. A, because I haven't seen you in a long time. B, because at the end of the day, whether you see me or you don't see me, I function from a place of a lot of heart, and it makes me super, super excited to know that you guys are motivated or on that verge, that you guys want to do bigger and better things, and to watch you guys grab some tools tonight to hopefully be able to make some power moves for yourselves gets me so excited, because at the end of the day, that means spirit's doing their job, and you know, you guys are on board, and I couldn't be happier for you. I wanted to, you know, some of you may think, well, what does business have to do with spirituality, and why was there an intersection? And for me, when Laura and I started this business, on everything that I divinely believe in, I tell you, I had nothing, zero, not a dollar to my name. I got Gypsy Love Store. We landed that with no money to secure the deposit, no money to pay rent, no money to buy merchandise. The crystals that I started selling were lent to me on consignment, and after I sold them, I paid a portion, you know, of what I owed. I didn't have any skills other than, you know, reading. I had done, you know, legal stuff, but I didn't know how to operate a business. And the reason why I share that story is two things. Number one, spiritually, this is on your path. If spirit's giving you a message or you want to awaken to it being time, like it's go time, and I couldn't be more excited. And number two is because I didn't have that experience, and I've always been intimidated by paperwork for whatever reason. I didn't have my ducks in a row. And so having to clean my mess up has been extremely more difficult than had I known what steps to take and how to do things. And so when Rose, which I'll introduce in a second, came and help us get everything in order, and she said, like, hey, you know, COVID's hitting hard, and you know, there may be a lot of women out there who are grinding and doing the hustle. I'm like, yes, let's do this, you know. And it couldn't be better synchronized. And so yeah, this is how this class came to be. And I'm excited to have you guys here. So the time that we are in now is there's a lot of limbo, and it's very scary. And my hopes is that this will, if you've already started, get you in order. If this is something that you dream of doing, it can be that trigger, that little duck that also needs to get in a row as to what are my steps and how do I get ready and how do I go, because I don't know what election times are going to bring, but spiritually speaking, I believe that November, December are going to spiral energetically a little bit and be hard. And that even January, you know, like we're coming in for another round, and economically, I'm not only speaking COVID-wise, I'm speaking, you know, the state of the economy and everybody that is in limbo. Some will barely make it and some won't make it at all. And so for those who do get prepared and are ready, like this is a good time. It's a good class to be. So I'll stop talking because I drank a Red Bull before I got here. That's what's going on right now. And this is Rose. I'm going to, you know, let her take over the screen from American Biz Builder, Business Builder. Is that right?
Yes, Americana Business Builder.
So
Hi.
welcome. Go ahead. Take it away. Let me get
Thank
away.
you. Thank you, Magda. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm really excited for this workshop. I'll introduce myself and the businesses in a few minutes, but I just want to thank you all for being here. I'm very honored for you guys taking the time to join us today. I was facilitating a lot of workshops before COVID in person. So moving virtual has been kind of a change for us. I always prefer in person because communication and I'm able to read the crowd better. But I always run the workshops very informally, right? And we're going to be talking, we won't get too technical tonight, but we will be talking about some terms maybe we've never heard before. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to unmute yourself and ask and or type it in the chat. Because a lot of times we're never taught about taxes, right? Anytime in high school, most of the time in college, our parents usually have never taught us anything because for the most part, they were never taught anything either. We're kind of just set loose into the workforce and we kind of have to fend for ourselves with everything from taxes to credit to student loans, home loans, starting a business. So I run everything informally. I want everybody to feel comfortable. So please feel free to ask questions. I'm going to start the slideshow. Let me see. Let me do the screen share. And the same thing, the virtual is kind of, let me see. Can you guys see the screen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So yes, I approached Magda a couple weeks ago and asked her like if she had anybody that she knew that had started something or was interested in starting a business. I was more than happy to facilitate this workshop. So this is a workshop, ready to start your business or take your side hustle to the next level. Let's go. So who we are. So we're Americana Biz Builder. My name is Rose Driesline. I'm the owner, founder, and this business I started during COVID, and I'll explain why and how. So our sister companies is Americana Tax Planning and The Collab Inc. So I've owned Americana Tax Planning for 10 years. I'm in year 11 right now. I just finished my 10th year in tax season. And then The Collab Inc. So I opened a shared workspace in Uptown Whittier. So we provide workstations, private meeting room, conference rooms. It's a platform and a launch pad for newer and smaller businesses to get up off the ground. So between these two businesses, we realized that there's a missing component, and the missing component is all the cornerstones of business that were never taught anywhere. And I had to learn these myself, either through self-education or through mistakes. So compiled all my experience over the last 10 years with Americana Tax Planning and lots of my clients. So I work predominantly with self-employed and small business owners in the tax business. So we compiled all their mistakes and put them together in a checklist to make sure that if we're going to start a business, that we have at least have the awareness of what we need to build a strong foundation. We're located here in Uptown Whittier, and our information's up here. So I'm coming from a tax and accounting background, and then just recently in the last 3 years, I opened the co-working space. So just a lot of networking, a lot of collaboration with different industries and businesses, a lot of events. We facilitate a lot of events, social and or community-oriented and educational. So our why. So this business, Americana Biz Builder, was born over the last 3 or 4 months during COVID. So before this, according to the Board of Labor in the United States, in year 2020, which we're in, 40% of the American workforce is supposed to be self-employed by this year in some capacity. So that's almost half of the American workforce. And then we have COVID. So COVID has forced many Americans into unemployment, forcing us to look for income in other places. Not only that, even if we're still employed during lockdown, a lot of us were stuck at home. So people started making stuff, filming stuff, recording stuff, and selling it. Let's see, if you started a new business hobby and want to grow it, let's see. Through our experience with the tax and accounting business, a lot of people have great ideas, and we can help on the tax side and accounting side, but they need a proper foundation, myself included. So everything that we talk about tonight is something that I've implemented myself or that I'm implementing currently. As a small business owner myself and working with nothing but small business owners, I understand more than anybody the struggle, everyday struggle of trying to run and operate a business, maintain and raise a family, have relationships, have friends, have a social life, try to maintain our health. It's very easy to get stuck in the day-to-day operations and not really focus on building the business or working on the business versus working in the business. So through our experience, and especially over the last 6 months, and my own experience is, I think a lot of business owners go out of business or give up because they get burnt out and get discouraged because they don't have the proper building tools. So today we'll go over our checklist of what those tools are so that we can explore them and learn more about them. Okay, so I'll share the company blueprint with you guys next, and then we'll share this whole slide and the company blueprint with everybody so you guys can have that as a resource. But we're same thing, we're convinced that if every business owner, no matter how big or small, has the awareness of these fundamental building blocks, that you should be successful, right? So as long as we have the awareness, then it's up to us to put in the work and make it a success. So let me bring that up. So this is the blueprint. We'll provide everybody with the checklist so you guys can go over it. But we're gonna go over each item in detail right now. Okay, so step number one is creating a business concept. So we usually start a business because we have a special trade, skill, or passion, right? That's usually what pushes us into self-employment. So if your hobby or passion can produce income, we need to identify what that service or product looks like. We need to figure out if there's a need for our product or service. We need to understand if it's viable, meaning can it survive? And can you earn an income or supplement your income? And then defining it from a hobby to a full blown business is if you're serious about it. So a hobby can be for fun, something we do on the side, something that we do to keep us busy. But if we're going to take it to the next step and make it into a business, it has to be something that we make sure we have the dedication for and that we're serious about it. Step number two is going to be industry research. So we want to understand what industry we're in. And later in the slides, we'll do examples of a lash business. So I have a lot of clients that recently in the last like 2 or 3 years, the lash extensions. So you have a lot of girls opening up workshops, actually doing the lash extensions themselves, selling kits. So we're going to use that one as an example. But whatever industry you're in, and if you guys want to talk about or say what industry you're in, I can give more examples or talk about any clients I have. But whatever industry we're in, we want to understand, we want to do research. And that can include reading trade newsletters, government sites, reports, and articles. This can be a little bit boring and tedious, but it's really important to understand the trends. So we want to understand what other people in our industry are doing, and it doesn't matter what industry it is, but we want to understand what's going on in the industry, what people are charging for our services or our products, what their costs are, what the trends are, what the demand is, and what the growth trends are. And more importantly, depending on what industry, what the laws and regulations are. So with this insight, you'll have more clarity in making decisions and also making commitments. And I'll give an example for the collaborative workspace that I own. It's a very new concept. It's very popular in dense and metro areas, like in the downtown areas, but it's not as popular yet in bedroom communities like ours. I'm in Whittier, right? So it's a very new progressive concept here. So I had to understand that. I had to make sure I set my prices right. I had to make sure that my costs were under control because I'm not in downtown LA. I'm not in Long Beach. I'm not in Pasadena. So I had to do research and understand what they're charging, what their expenses were. I had to understand that I'm coming into a very traditional community and it's a progressive idea. So I had to give myself time to make sure that I had the capital to carry the business until we were able to pick up memberships. So no matter what industry you're in, understanding this is important. And we also don't want to jump into an industry that might be on the downturn, right? Something like, for example, would be like something in print, like a newspaper or a magazine. We don't want to jump into something like that where it's antiquated. So we want to have a mission statement, a vision statement. A lot of this stuff we see, especially with business planning, but it's really important because it helps guide us, right? So we want to make sure that we have and things can change. Like we can start the business with one mission statement, a vision statement. After a few months, we should come back to it and change it and make sure that it still aligns with what we want to do and where we want to take the business. So making sure that we have a clear mission and vision statement to help guide your business development and plans. And then always keeping the future in mind. This stuff, I don't want to say it's boring. It can be exciting, especially for a newer business. We want to get this stuff in place. But if we're busy working the day-to-day operations, if we have a family we have to take care of and make dinner, and we're doing virtual school, this kind of stuff can be put on the back burner. But it really is important to help guide where we want to go. And keeping the future in mind, when I started the tax business 10 years ago, I did it to supplement my income because I wanted to be flexible with my kids. I had very young kids at the time. So tax season is 3 months, right? I was going to work hard 3 months, but then I have summers and spring break and Christmas with the kids. My only mission then was to be able to supplement my income so that I can have that flexibility with them. I didn't have an exit strategy. I didn't think, how am I going to grow this business? What am I going to do when I have too many clients? Through more experience and through self-education, when I started the second business, we had a clear exit strategy. So it was like, in 3 to 5 years, I'm setting this business up so I can sell it or franchise it. So kind of having that awareness, no matter what business you're in, even if it's not in the next 3 to 5 years, kind of understanding where you want to take the business to. Because for an example, if we have a hairdresser, I have a lot of hairdresser clients, salon owners, they don't want to be behind the chair for 15, 20 years, right? Like, it might be a passion for them to be really good at it and make good money, but they don't want to be standing behind the chair for the next 15 years. They want to be able to grow the business, but they have to have that vision in mind. So always being future forward. Even if we don't know exactly what that looks like, we still want to have that awareness. Our value proposition. So if we're hearing terms too that we don't understand, please ask questions. A lot of this stuff I learned too, and I had to stop and Google what it was, what it meant, read up on it. So our value proposition is, what's the value that we're offering? What value does our business bring? What are we selling? So what we have to get very clear on what our services are and what our products are. And a lot of times when we're starting, we may have several different products or several different services, which is great. We test the market, see what sells, see what we're better at, see what's more cost effective, what's more profitable. But we should be documenting all of this too. An example with the tax business is, a personal tax return costs X amount of dollars. A corporate tax return costs X amount of dollars. The personal one takes me 1 hour. The corporate one takes me 3 hours. So understanding what my profit is from each one, understanding what each one entails, and then being able to focus. So if my corporate tax returns are giving me a bigger profit, I want to make sure that I'm focusing more of my attention, more of my staff, more of my advertising on the corporate tax returns. And then what are our prices? So we'll use the Lash business in later slides, but we want to make sure that our prices are comparable to other businesses. And there's nothing wrong with charging more, especially if you're bringing more value to somebody. But for example, for lashes, we're not going to be charging $600 for a set of lashes when the going rate right now is between $60 and $100. So even if we think we're the best lash artist, or I think I'm the best tax preparer in the world, our prices have to align with our area, what we offer, the value we bring, and the time that we spend. So just making sure everything's appropriate. And I've been way off both times. So when I first started the tax business, my prices were so low that it was ridiculous. So it kind of almost a disservice, because you're devaluing your service. But at the time too, my confidence wasn't there. My experience wasn't there. So I didn't do any of the industry. When I first started, I didn't have any industry research. I just came out the gates with whatever I thought was right. So when I started the co-working space, I made sure that I'm checking the prices of all the co-working spaces in the area, what's working, called owners of the other place, like, hey, what memberships are moving more, what are not moving. So just doing that research and making sure that whatever value you're bringing, that you're charging the appropriate price for it, whether it's a product or a service. If it's a product, you want to make sure that whatever it costs you to create that product, which is considered your cost of goods, is also appropriate. Any questions on value proposition?
I do have a couple of things, like how, because I think that depending on whether you're selling services or whether you're selling product, it's one of the hardest parts, you know what I mean, of like, for us to get acquainted with our value. Are we overpricing? Are we underpricing? I know I struggled with, like, let's just say if I was going to make a product versus was I going to buy a product that was already ready to resell? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then adding the cost of labels, ink, postage, time, you know? And so it seems minuscule, and you think you write this, you add this number on the top and that will cover it. And then you find out when you do your taxes that you didn't do it right and that it's over. And so, you know, one thing, I'm going to tie this to the industry research, aside from, you know, your regular articles and your trade magazines, you know, social media and Etsy and now TikTok, I hate to say it, but it's this incredible platform where people are willing to share the information, from packaging to postage to process, you know, and they are sharing their resources. And so you know, these are all like, don't be intimidated to the information's out there. And, you know, even though there's a lot of cancel mentality and, you know, they made the social space like okay to be shady, there's also this other half that is so giving and, you know, and people who are willing to share information. And so you have to remember the one spiritual aspect that I want to throw to this is, if there's one thing that I've learned, is that what you're good at and where time can fly is usually very indicative of what you're natural of. And so figuring out how you can monetize and having love for this thing and faith for this thing and knowing that you guys have an edge because you have spirituality, spirit, your spirit guides, the universe, and all those crazy coinky dinks that can help you do this. And so, you know, allow yourself to, like raising kids, not easy. Hardest job you ever did, you know, but you love it and you can't put a price on that. You know, having a business baby is exactly the same way, different, but really, really the same.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, because there's a lot of work stuff and lingo that I still would have been like, oh, there's a lot to read. Screenshot it, by the way, very easy to keep these notes. But yeah, like I need you to know that this is not a coincidence. You're ready. That means something. If anything, just write down these bullet points because this is your format, the bone structure as to what you want to check off and make sure that you're a little bit prepared.
Yeah. Ta-da. Okay. Yes. No. And a lot of this stuff is new. I'm telling you, I had to learn this because either I was stuck, I hit a wall, or I'm working a lot. Like when I first started, I was charging very little for the tax returns, but I was getting a lot of value and I was working long hours and I wasn't making that much. So then it was like coming back and like, okay, what's the problem here? And figuring out a lot of self-education too. I'm a big believer in self-education. So there's, I'll provide resources too, like really good books to read for just starting out. And the awareness to me is the most important thing because when we have the awareness and when we stumble into these things as the business grows, we'll remember, oh, you know what? I remember a value proposition. Let me go back and work on that. But this is really important because if we're not clear on what our services are or what our products are or the costs associated with that, then it's kind of like stepping on the brakes and the gas at the same time. And it may not be an issue if we're bringing income in and we're getting by, but people get burnt out, myself included. Like there came a time where I was so burnt out. I have business coming in, but I had to come back and reevaluate. I'm not charging enough or I'm focusing too much on the wrong service. I need to focus my time on this service because my profit margin is way bigger and I'm spending less time on it. So I really, and we'll talk about numbers in a little bit, but numbers don't lie, right? So we'll get into numbers. Everything starts with the numbers and ends with the numbers, but we have to be very clear on this stuff. We have a starting point and then we come back and reevaluate maybe quarterly to make sure that your services and your products are priced appropriately. And things change too. With COVID, we have a lot of like barbershops, hair salons, they're coming out. They were closed for a long time, so they have to make up for lost revenue. So now we're seeing a lot of haircuts and treatments. They're more expensive now, right? So everybody, these are things that are important to their industry and important to us as consumers too. And as business owners, we always want to understand the behaviors and trends of all this stuff affects us. And it may not be important now, but as we grow and as we put more investment of our time into the business, it's important.
Okay, I have a question. I'm that person, always been that person. I'm always going to be the one with the questions. But for example, let's just say, because you were talking, this is still about valuation. You were talking about the example that you gave was a lash service and you can't be charging $500 when the going rate is from point X to point whatever, right? Mm-hmm. From 60 to 100, for example. But at what point do you value, like, let's just say a t-shirt business and then you have this, you know, organic, or you have this, or you have that, or my services as an example, you mm-hmm. know, where, you know, how, what about those things that you can't put a price because there is intense detail or labor? And so, and we set our own value, you know, like where are we looking? How do we justify? How do we compare? Because you said right now, the market's changing. Barbershops have hiked up the prices. Even whatever you're buying at the store, as simple as Rite Aid, everything is a lot more expensive. So how do we keep up, or where do we look to readjust our prices? Because the price scale's off.
So I think there's two factors. I think it's going to be the value you bring and the demand. So we can bring a tremendous value, but if I'm not in tax season and nobody needs a tax return in November, like what is it to me, right? So I think the value that you bring and also the demand. So I can bring tremendous value in November, December for a corporate tax return, but they were due 3 months before. So then I'm not going to be able to charge for it. So it would be that if you have a big demand, then you can charge, I don't want to say whatever you want, but you charge for your time. You charge for what you bring to the table. And a lot of times our value comes from our experience and the hard work and being seasoned in what we're doing, right? So I think those are the two biggest factors, is the value we bring and then the demand that we have for it. And then if we're bringing a service like that, so if in November, December, there's not a big demand and I'm not going to offer a value for that particular service, then I'm going to circle around and refocus. What do people need in November and December that I can bring value to and that there's a large demand for?
Okay. Thank you.
The barbers, nobody had haircuts for 4 or 5 months. So there's a huge demand for barbers. So they could charge, you know, I took my son gets his haircuts for $21 normally, which is still kind of high, but COVID, we're paying $30. And the barber, we had to put an appointment in like a week and a half before. So it's all value and demand. And servicing too, like some lash, if we have a lash tech and she's doing Jennifer Lopez, she might be able to charge $600 for the lashes. But if she's here in Uptown Whittier, she's not servicing Jennifer Lopez, so she's not going to be able to charge that price. So there's a lot of different factors. So this is an important one because I'm speaking from my own experience. I killed myself on that, like charging too low. And then opposite too, like sometimes coming out the gates too high where I'm in the wrong area to ask for that price. So it's kind of like finding the sweet spot, finding your happy place for both the consumer and for what you're selling. So now we'll get into, this is important, projected financial reports. A lot of this stuff is new. This was even new for me, even though I'm in the tax industry. I had to start taking accounting classes when I started the office in 2010 because I didn't understand what a profit and loss statement was, break even analysis. I didn't do my first one until year 5. So we're not taught this in school. Even a lot of times, if we have degrees in business management, a lot of this stuff, it's one thing to learn it, but it's another thing to actually practice it and implement it, right? So there's a lot of great books and information out there. This is something that we practice with our clients too, because I'm telling you, we can do taxes and accounting all day for a business owner, but if they don't know how to utilize that information, there's no value to them. So we take an educational approach because our value proposition is educating them so that they can actually utilize these reports. So whatever new business you're in, or if you have a business going already, you want to make sure that you get these two reports, and I'll show you guys examples of them and shortly. So the first one is a break-even analysis. And a break-even analysis, we're going to jot down expenses so we understand what our expenses will be so that you at least break even. Okay, so this is our break even analysis, and this is our fabulous lashes tech. She just started doing lashes. So these are her expenses that she's going to take for the first month. She needs to understand what her expenses are so that she knows how many lashes she needs to do. So her cost of goods. So if you're a product-based business, whatever it costs you to sell that product, which is going to be in raw materials, or if you're buying wholesale and you're going to retail it, that's considered your cost of goods. So for this lash tech, all her lashes and her glue and her brushes, it's going to cost her $350 a month. Her advertising that she did on Facebook and printing her new business cards is $200. Her studio is $600 a month. Her phone is $60. Her business insurance is $79. Her auto expenses are $240, website $25, her accounting for the month is $75, her supplies for her studio or her cleaning supplies $100, and her internet is $75. So her business net for the month is $1,454. So she knows at a minimum she has to sell this much in lashes to break even. So she's not running at a loss, right? And that's just paying her expenses. That's not paying herself. So this number is very important because it gives her a number to shoot for first to make sure that she at least makes her expenses and she's not running at a loss. So I'll send you guys a copy of this too. You guys can plug in your own numbers and play with them. Sometimes everyone's different. I think advertising is important for a new business as long as it's done right. So advertising should be on there. Some people may not. Some people may not have auto expenses, no internet, whatever it is. You guys can play with these numbers to figure out what this, the break even is. For her, it's $1,454. So then we're going to come to our second report for a new, before we start anything. It's our mixed sales report. So our lash tech, she gives three services. She does classic lashes, hybrid set, or volume set. And these are her prices, $65, $75, and $85. So now she knows how many appointments for each one she has to make for that month in order just to make her break even, right? So she has to do a total of 20 services over the month just to make her break even. So anything over that is going to be her profit, right? So now she's making money. So, and this helps you with motivation. So we know first what we need to make. This helps us if we see, okay, I need to make, I have 86 appointments in 4 weeks. You break it down by week, that might be kind of excessive. But if we're doing 52 appointments per week and you break it down, she's doing like 12 appointments, a little over 13 appointments per week to make 39. Her break even is 14. So she's taking home 2,500 for her profit, right? If she hits these goals. So everybody, and we kind of reverse engineer it. So if you say, hey, you know what? I need to make $6,000 a month. I need to make $2,000 a month, whatever it is. You reverse engineer it so you know how many products or how many services you need to sell to get there. Any questions on this?
I have a question.
Yes.
If they stayed at an average of this amount per month, in your break even, she's not paying herself. That's not an expense.
No, she's not. And the break even, that's just so she's not running out, so she can pay all her bills and stay in business and keep her doors open.
That's just to keep her doors open.
That's just to keep her doors open. So we need to wait. Can you guys can see the mixed sales report, right? Or no?
Mixed sales report, yeah. Oh, classic, okay. Hybrid and volume.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So yeah. So we'll go back to the break even. These are her expenses that she needs to make at least $1,454 just to keep her doors open and stay current in her bills.
Okay, guys, if any of you are already, you know, working and in business and you like you have experience or you want to share, you know, a mistake or a loophole or something that you learned the hard way, or if you have a question because this already applies to you, please don't be shy. Like, this is your time. Maximize on this and go ahead and ask the question.
Ask questions, please. I love questions. And a lot of stuff, like the way I learned too, is asking a million questions. Like every trade show I went to, every conference, every seminar, I'm asking a million questions because I want to learn.
I have some questions, but I just don't want to jump in front of you and you might say it on the next slide.
So that's okay. Ask and then I'll let you know if I'm going to.
Okay. So at what point do you suggest that you should get a business license, because I know that's necessary if you want to start filing taxes for your business. But like, as you said, you know, because of this whole COVID-ish that's going on, a lot of it started as a side hustle, something that you're not sure if it's going to be like, hey, you know, this is my time to start something new and it's going to turn into something big, or is it just right now to help ends meet pretty much?
Yes.
What point do you recommend that it's good to look into getting a business license?
So two factors, and we'll talk about the working with the different agencies and getting registered with the appropriate agencies shortly, but I think it's more of a personal thing too. So you have to decide, and doing the preliminary work that we talked about, like doing the industry research and doing the vision statement and the mission statement and running your numbers. Because the numbers don't lie. So you can see this and like, look at our lash tech. Like, even if she, you know, she doubles this, like she'll be banging per month and she's only taking 12 appointments per week. You know what I mean? That's only, if she's working 4 days, it's only 3 appointments per day per week. So it's going to be the number, like doing your numbers, doing the research, and it's not that difficult. Like I'll provide you guys with these formulas that I have here, and you guys can edit them and add them to whatever industry you're in, but the numbers don't lie. So that's a big motivator. And then being honest with yourself about what you're going to dedicate to the business. Because when you jump into self-employment, and it could be maybe a supplement, like when I did, it was a supplement just to like, hey, I could be more flexible with the kids. Maybe we have a full-time job. Maybe we have a spouse that works, or maybe we're going to jump into it both feet. Like, hey, let's do it. You have to be honest with yourself and say, hey, I'm going to be committed and do this, or I'm going to ease my way into it and maybe take a year to do it. So it's those two things, the numbers and then how serious you are and how committed you are to it. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever the numbers say and wherever you are personally with the business, if that makes sense. And then we'll talk about formalizing it as far as business licenses and dealing with the IRS and the FTB and all that and shortly. But those are the biggest things. And because it really is, like, when we jump in full time, especially when we have our cell phones on and we have social media on and we have texting, like, there's no downtime. I get, and it's something that we work towards, like, training our clients and also us being trained. It's like, I'll get texts at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings or 8 p.m. on Friday nights when I'm clearly not at the office, not office hours. So it's really, you're on like 24/7. People, clients know that you have your cell phone on you and that you're on social media. Like, there's no mercy. So, okay. So those were our two very important. If we started, that's fine. A lot of people started, like you just said, like people started selling stuff, recording stuff, during the shutdown. So, but these are two reports that you need to kind of help put things in perspective. Another thing too, which we'll talk about profit and loss in a minute, is like, we may have a lot of fun doing lashes or making chamoy or doing all kinds of stuff at home, but if we're only making 10 cents an hour, like, we need to understand that so that we can make a decision of like, I don't want to make 10 cents an hour. Like, either I need to fix something within the business or this is just going to be a hobby. I'm never going to be able to live off this. Okay, so once we have that preliminary stuff done, which might be new for a lot of us. It was new for me. I had to self-educate. That stuff's very important. Those are the building blocks. We want to have an awareness. We want to have understanding and explore that. So then once we have that done, then it's time for the fun stuff. So that's going to be our business name, getting our logo, getting our website, getting our social media. And a lot of times it's really easy to do the opposite. A lot of times like, oh, I'm starting this new cupcake business. I'm going to name it A, B, and C suites. Let's get a social media up. Let's get all this stuff up. We up and going and we're very motivated and excited. It's exciting and it's fun. But if we don't have the preliminary stuff done, then it's hard to grow it. You don't have any direction. So we need a direction first, which is going to be all the stuff that we talked about, our mission statement, our vision statement. And it can be very simple. My stuff is very simple. But to me, I always go simple with everything. We don't need to be complex in anything, not in this stage. Just as long as we have stuff down so that we have guidance and we can develop on top of that. So once the preliminary stuff is done, now it's the fun stuff. Now it's the business name and the logo and the website and the social media. And even within that, we want to make sure that we're working with professionals. We want to make sure that we're, if we're social media, it's a great platform to get advertising out there, to get business in, but we have to make sure that we are prioritizing that too. So it's really easy to get like sucked into that. But if we're not making any money off our Instagram, then we shouldn't be on Instagram for 4 hours a day, right? So we want to figure out where our business is coming in from and then focus on that. That's fun. And with the third business, so with Americana Biz Builder, I did all the steps that I'm talking to you guys about first. So I was excited. Like, oh, what am I going to name it? Oh, let me start my Instagram. Let me start my Facebook. Let me do my logo. But I did all the preliminary steps first so that when it came time to this, I knew exactly. Now I know how I want to shape this business. Now I know the image I want on Instagram. Now I know what I want my logo to look like because I have direction. Now we're going to get into the even more fun stuff. So we won't get too technical with this stuff, but this stuff is important stuff that we don't know about. So it gets put on the back burner, which then we shoot ourselves in the foot because when it comes time for tax reporting, we're not ready. And worse is we find ourselves with a big tax bill. Second is we don't have anything ready at all, so we don't file. We fall behind. That's just with compliance. On top of compliance, like I mentioned earlier, we want to know how much money we're making. If we're going to sacrifice and invest our time, our savings, our capital, sometimes we're running up credit cards, we're taking away time from our family and our friends and investing it in these businesses. We want to make sure that we're turning a profit, right? And you can't do that without your numbers. So we'll go a little bit over taxes, business taxes, self-employment taxes, bookkeeping, entity structure, our EIN, DBA, record keeping, and business bank accounts. I'm not going to get too technical. So if you guys have questions on this stuff, ask. But we do offer more workshops after this where we do get technical. A lot of this stuff too is more of a one-on-one, and it's a practice. So I'll provide you guys the slides, but this stuff is not a one-timer. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna do my bookkeeping in January because my taxes are due. Bookkeeping needs to be done regularly. It's maintenance for the business. The healthier that we are in all of these bullet points here, the healthier our business is gonna be. And it is, nobody likes the IRS. Nobody knows about taxes. Nobody knows about bookkeeping. So it is easy to put off, but it's the most important component of the business. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money coming in, if you have more money going out. It doesn't matter if you have 10,000 followers on Instagram or $80,000 on Instagram, if you don't have any money in the bank account to pay your personal bills or put gas in your car. So this is the most important component of the business. And this is my disclaimer to everybody to get professional help. I've had a lot of people, so starting off with the right help, with the proper help, professional services is going to keep you ahead of the game. It's not a do-it-yourself. So we've all started our own business or exploring getting into our own business because we're an expert or we have a special skill at something. So if we're doing lashes for somebody, I'm not going to do my own lashes. I'm going to go to somebody who's an expert at it and has been trained to do it. So dealing with the taxes and the bookkeeping and the different agencies, it's not a do-it-yourself. And I've seen throughout the last 10 years, people who do it themselves and they create a big mess for themselves. Oh, I've seen people give up because with the IRS and stuff, they'll just shut down their business. They don't want to deal with it because they don't understand it. So this is my disclaimer. Do not do this stuff yourself. There's a lot of, you should definitely self-educate. You should read, you should watch videos on YouTube, attend workshops with us or work with people like us. It's educational. It's very educational. You have to do it. Because that's how people get in trouble. I've seen tons of people shoot themselves in the foot. And people look at this kind of stuff as an expense more than an investment. So people hear, oh man, bookkeeping is going to cost me X amount of dollars per month. I can't do it. But then they don't know how much money they're making or losing. And then they're not ready to file their taxes. And then we're on extension. And then here you know, oh my God, it's January again. And then it becomes a burden. And the business should not be a burden. The business should be a blessing to you. So setting this stuff up the right way and taking care of the business health is only going to give you return. The cheap comes out expensive. I've seen a lot of people do LegalZoom, go through paralegals, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a lot of work on the back end that needs to be executed the right way in order for it to be complete and in order for it to benefit you. So get professional help, please. And that's something that we offer too. So I'll share our information, and if anyone's interested or needs help or consultation, we're available. So I'll go over briefly entity structure, because I see a lot of people jumping and purchasing stuff and they don't need it yet. And B, they're selecting the wrong entity structure. So when most people start off, we're starting off as a sole proprietor, which means you are the business. You're not incorporated or partnered in any way, shape, or form. You're the business, right? So that means that you're going to file your taxes. Your business taxes are going to go on your personal tax return. It's considered a Schedule C. It's the most informal. It's the easiest thing to do. All you need to do is offer a service or a product and get paid for it. And then you're in business. Next, we have a partnership. Partnership is when we have two or more owners. There has to be at a minimum two owners to be a partnership. Next is an LLC. For some reason, I think it's the LegalZooms and these commercials that we see. People are like, oh my God, let me form an LLC. In the state of California, it's expensive to have an LLC, and there's no tax benefits to a single member LLC. So I know LegalZoom will do it for $179, and it is very informal to do it. It offers liability protection. So if you're in an industry where you have a high liability risk, that might be for you, but that is a conversation to have with an attorney. For tax savings purposes, LLCs are expensive, and there's no tax benefits. So when it becomes cost effective, we do recommend S corporations. We do form S corporations here in our office for our clients, but it has to be cost effective. And I'll share this number with you guys now. You guys can jot it down as a benchmark. When your business is netting, I mean, your profit for the year is at $45,000 or more, it's cost effective to incorporate and form an S corporation. And we'll talk about why, and it's self-employment taxes. So we do all day long. S corporations were designed by the IRS for closely held businesses, which means it's usually only one shareholder. Sometimes there's multiple, it's fine, but it's a small business, closely held. So we recommend that. There's a, it's a little more formal than an LLC. We do have to do some work in the beginning to get it structured and implemented, but it's a fantastic vessel for tax savings in year one and then every year afterwards. And you have liability protection. There's also a C Corp. And that's designed more for businesses that have different classes of stock and different types of investors. So we usually don't deal with these. I do have a couple clients that deal with these, but this is not something we're going to recommend for a single shareholder or for a smaller business. And again, I'm going to say here, don't do it yourself. I have a lot of clients that come in with LLCs that they formed on LegalZoom. They're expensive. They're going to pay self-employment taxes on it. It's $800 a year tax with the state of California, minimum. No tax benefits. It just, and then on top of that, they've already paid to get it done and it's not the right thing. And when we go through LegalZoom or a paralegal, like I said, there's stuff to be done on the back end that needs to be done in a timely manner. LegalZoom kind of just sends you off and then you're on your own to figure that stuff out. If you know how to do it, great. If not, then don't attempt it. Getting set up with the correct agencies.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because I have a couple of clients where it's of interest, where do nonprofits come in your S Corp LLC stuff?
So the workshop tonight is more for a profit-driven business, right? But if we do have someone who's interested in setting up a nonprofit, it's a big commitment. I've done a full audit for a nonprofit before when I was president of that nonprofit. I sponsor several nonprofits in my city because I love nonprofits. I think they step in where the government can't, and there's a volunteer at the heart of every nonprofit. So we do a lot of work with nonprofits. It's a big commitment, and the applications are no joke, and the compliance are no joke. But if somebody has a drive and they want to do it, we can provide guidance with it to getting them set up the right way. There's just a lot of compliance with it. And I love nonprofits. I think they're beautiful. They're great. Like I said, we support them all day long. But it's not profit driven, and there's a lot of compliance. So I don't know if that answered your question.
But no. However, okay. So you're talking about the structure. So the break-even stuff, all of that, mission statement, I mean, that still fits in preparing your nonprofit. But the nonprofit, the app, what is it called? What's the number of the nonprofit
thingamajigger? 503C1.
Yeah, 503C. Okay. But that's paperwork that you can fill out.
We can
for fill them. Out. But what I'm trying to identify, it's a separate, like, there's S Corp, there's LLC, there's C Corp, and then there's nonprofit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And a nonprofit can be registered as a corporation, so they have a liability protection.
Okay.
It's just that they get the tax exemption from the IRS and from the state of California, so they don't pay taxes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
I have a question. Yes. If I'm thinking of the possibility of doing a business as a sole proprietorship, what are the upfront fees? Are there any?
No, there's not any upfront fees. Actually, I didn't include the slide on this of how to get started. So if you're starting as a sole proprietorship, at a minimum, you want to get a DBA with your county. So I'm in LA County. So ours is in Norwalk at the county recorder's office. I don't know what county you're in, but you want to get a DBA, which is doing business as.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's in LA County, it's $26 for that. And then you also want to get an EIN number from the IRS.
Right.
To open your business bank accounts.
Okay.
And that's, I was just on the phone with the county yesterday. They're, at least in LA County, they're delayed to 6 to 8. So right now we're doing a lot of tax planning. I work with a lot of clients that are A, looking for tax savings by opening a small business and running losses through it. Or two, somebody who's legit, like starting a business, like, hey, I want to do things right. Learning how to navigate. So if we can do these, like EIN, there's no charge from the IRS. The DBA is $26, but it's making sure that it's executed the right way and how to navigate you want to know how to navigate the county. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But so for sole proprietor, DBA, EIN, business bank account, at a minimum.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good question. Also the DBA, depending on what city you're in, with these bigger agencies, there's no going around it. Getting things set up the right way is what you need to do. For our local agencies, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but the business licenses, it's a revenue stream for the cities. If you're a restaurant or if you're doing a gym or something where you need to get licensed for insurance purposes, they need to make sure that you're compliant for health standards, you're going to have to get the licenses. But for somebody who's just starting out, I'm not like, if you're doing something from home and you can get a business license, then fine, great, do it. But the cities are like, it's, I don't want to say it's a racket, but it's a, try it out first. Like, see, like, is this business viable? Is this going to work? If it does, then go to the city and get your license.
Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So we want to make sure we're working with the correct agencies. So everybody knows the big bad IRS. We want to make sure we have our EIN number registered with them, so that when we file our tax returns, that it's registered in the proper, under the proper number. And then we also want to understand what our deadlines are for the IRS. So everybody knows the deadline for our personal taxes is 415. When we form a partnership or an S-Corp, that moves up 1 month, and those tax returns are due 315. So just having this awareness, it's not something like, if you guys are going to form something like that, if you come with us, we'll make sure that you have these calendars or these deadlines set in your calendar already, so we're not missing anything. The Franchise Tax Board, it's here in California, it's our taxing agency. They're much smaller than the IRS. They're much more aggressive than the IRS. So we want to make sure that we're always in good standing with the FTB. The EDD, if we have any employees, we want to make sure that we are registered and in good standing with the EDD, because FTB is aggressive. EDD is even more aggressive. It's a smaller agency. They want to make sure that everybody's classified properly. And sales tax. So our sales tax, if we are selling retail, we need to make sure that we have our seller's permit with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, that we're collecting sales tax from our consumer, and that we are paying that sales tax to the state. So I've seen a lot of even like bigger businesses that are coming in, medium-sized restaurants coming in, and they get jammed up with sales tax because they put it back into their operating expenses and they start using it. And then when it comes time to pay the state, they don't have it readily available. And that's a big no-no, because it's not revenue. You're collecting the sales tax from the consumer, so it should never go into operating expenses. But if we don't know, like, sometimes people don't know. They think it's part of the revenue, so they start paying bills with it, they pay payroll with it, but it's not their money, it's taxed. So if you guys are selling products, right now if we're doing it as a hobby, then it's not that big of a deal. If we're moving a lot of stuff, if we're buying wholesale, we need to have that set up. And if we're reporting, if we're collecting on Square or Etsy or PayPal, and we're running money through it, they have your information, they're going to furnish that information to the IRS. So they all report to each other. So we want to make sure, just if we are collecting sales, first, if you need to collect sales tax, that you're collecting it appropriately for whatever zip code you're in or selling out of, because they're all different. And then that you are filing on time and that you're paying the sales tax to the state. And deadlines. So all these different agencies all have different deadlines. So we want to make sure that they are all in our calendars and that we are meeting them. And it's real easy to skip one, forget one, and running the business and dealing with family. So just making sure these things are set in stone in our calendars.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you start with just a seller's permit, or do you have to have a seller's permit plus all these other things in place?
So to get a seller's permit, if you're going to do it under your own name, that you can do it. But if you or want to do it under a business name, you're going to need the DBA and the EIN.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question, Rose.
Yes.
Did you say a minute ago that PayPal and all these people, they report to whom? I missed that part.
They report. So for this year, it is, if you run $20,000 in transactions or over 200 transactions through any of those, it's called a third-party merchant. PayPal, Stripe, Square, Etsy, Cash Shopify. App. If you run over 20,000 or 200 transactions, they will generate a 1099-K in your name or your business name, and they furnish you a copy and they furnish the IRS a copy. So now the IRS knows that you are in business.
Does that include Venmo?
No, and we'll talk about Venmo and how much we hate it.
Okay.
The personal Venmo, no, but Venmo offers a business Venmo. They charge fees on it, right? The personal one, there's no fees on it unless you're transferring back and forth from the bank. Venmo does offer the business processing, but there's obviously fees tied attached to it that are comparable to any of the other ones. Like, it's usually 3%.
Does Zelle count as one of those Cash Apps?
No, Zelle is not going to, Cash App is not going to, and the Venmo Personal are not going to, but those things are a nightmare for bookkeeping. And if you want to, I'll talk a little bit about getting finance and stuff in the future. But we do it. Like, sometimes we do it, especially, I'll tell you guys, I have a lot of clients, like the salons and stuff, they were selling stuff. They didn't want to report some things. You guys didn't hear this from me. So they're running it through their Cash Apps and stuff. And it's, I mean, it is what it is. But if you want to get set up the right way, and Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, if you're using it for personal stuff too, it's a nightmare to go through and clean up your records.
Okay, so I just want to add to that, 200 transactions, guys, or $20,000, whichever comes first, already flags to report. So know that. And if you're going to use that and take your stuff to, you know, for bookkeeping, you want to make sure that you are keeping good accounting. So on a monthly basis or on a biweekly basis, you want to start to print your stuff, highlight stuff. Like, it all comes down to decent record keeping, because your tax person can try to help you, but if you get audited, you're in trouble. So option A, be good about your bookkeeping, or option B, go have somebody help you build, plan, and manage your stuff, and then you don't have to worry about deadlines and books. Yes. And there's plenty of apps that they can suggest or hook up, you know, QuickBooks on mobile or whatever, to you link into your bank accounts or your, you know, thingamajiggers, to make everything easier. So there is a way, you know, you just need, the goal here is not to get tangled up.
Yes. It takes discipline too, and consistency. So even myself, like, this is what we do. I have a bookkeeper here in office with me. But I have to put an alarm on my phone every day. Well, things are different with COVID, but I have an alarm on my phone every day at 5:50 before I close office to put all my receipts for the day in the bookkeeper's envelope. And then I close my books for the day. I close out my Square. This is our daily sales that we did today here. And I give her I put the expenses away for her so she can do it. But it takes a system, because if I don't do it every day, and sometimes I don't do it every day because either I'm not here or I'm not done with the client, but I have the repetition and the consistency. If I'm only doing it once a week, forget it. If I miss 1 week, it's so easy to miss 2 weeks and 3 weeks. Before you know it, you've missed a couple of months, and then you don't know where your numbers are, and it's a nightmare. So building systems and consistency. Self-employment taxes. So I'll go over this briefly. So when we're a W-2 wage earner, when we're getting a paycheck from an employer, our employer covers a portion of our Social Security tax and Medicare tax. They pay half of it. The other half comes out of our paychecks, and you can see that broken down in your pay stubs. When you become self-employed, you're on the hook for the entire amount. It's called self-employment taxes, and it's 15.3% of your net profit. That's going to go towards your Social Security tax and your Medicare tax. That's hefty, because that's on top of your federal income tax, and that's on top of your state income tax. So we want to first have that awareness that we are subject to that tax, and then we want to budget for it. The only way we can budget for it is keeping accurate books. So we need to know, like, oh, my profit for this quarter is $15,000. So then we calculate, okay, what's my tax on that? Put that aside or send in your quarterly payment. But self-employment taxes. So this is when I talked about earlier, forming an S corporation, when it becomes cost effective. It's because when you're a sole proprietor, you're subject to this 15.3%. And it becomes cost effective. You'll see a bigger savings at $45,000 forming that S corporation than you will paying this 15.3% in self-employment taxes. You'll see a huge savings in year number one. And then the S corporation opens up a lot of opportunity for other tax planning that we cannot accomplish in a sole proprietorship. Let's see. So a lot of people that come in, they don't know what self-employment taxes are. So they're not budgeting for it, and they're not prepared for it. So it comes as a nasty surprise when you make a profit. Also, when we are employed, our employer withholds a portion of our federal income tax and state income tax and sends it to the IRS and sends it to the state for us. So they're prepaying our taxes for us. When you're self-employed, nobody's doing that for you. So you have to start sending in quarterly tax payments. on your own. And the only way we can calculate that is, again, by bookkeeping. We want to know what our profit is, so we send in the right amount of taxes. And I don't want to, definitely not negative. The healthiest thing is that we have our books set up so we know how much to put aside, and we're planning, and we're being proactive with this. And then it's healthy and we don't have to worry about it and we're prepared. The worst is not having the awareness of it and then getting like a nasty surprise during tax season and thinking, a lot of businesses, I don't want to say standard, but the first 3 to 5 years businesses, it's run a loss because we're very investment heavy. We're finding our ground, right? So the first couple of times you make a profit, the last thing you want to do is pay 40% of it into taxes. Because by the time we've gotten there, we've probably exhausted our life savings. We probably ran up credit. We're probably, you know, just, we need our profits. So it's a nasty surprise when we have to pay it in taxes. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. So say for instance, I'm considering doing the sole proprietorship, and I have expenses such as like education and things that I paid for. Mm-hmm. Would you advise to do it, like say before the year is up, or if I decide to wait till next year, will I still be able to use my education from this year next year?
Did you bring in any revenue this year?
Very little. It's mostly, it was just educational things so far.
But did you earn anything revenue?
Yes.
Or was it, you did? So I think that would be more of a, it depends what the dollar amount of revenue you brought in is. And then, so a lot of businesses incur startup costs. And if we're starting to plan a business, like I started the collab, like I got my lease and we started doing remodeling in October of 2017. I didn't open my doors until April of 2018. So I had a couple months of the prior year where it was just expenses. So I didn't claim those expenses on the first year. I carried them over into 2018 and they were my startup expenses.
Okay, great.
So you want to know, and losses are good. I mean, of course you want to profit, but if we are incurring losses as an investment, we want to harvest those losses because it brings down our other taxable income. So don't be afraid of losses.
Right. I wanted to use it to my advantage. So I was trying to figure out like what's strategically what would be better. So maybe wait till next year, but still be able to use those, right?
Yes. And that, there's a lot of factors in that too. So, I'm going to start getting deeper now. So that too. So like, it depends on what your income is for this year. If it's going to have a bigger bang and a bigger savings this year, then you might want to use it. But if it's not, then you would want to use it for next year.
Okay.
And everyone's different. Some people, we've stayed steady with work this year. Some people have taken a dip. Some people have done better. Some people are on unemployment. So those are all factors.
Okay. I've been to your collab, by the way. It's beautiful.
Oh, you have? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Zyra.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So bookkeeping. So it's the activity or occupation of keeping records of the financial affairs of the business. So really what it is we're going to record all of our business income, and that's going to go under business income, our revenue. And then we need to record all of our business expenses by category. So we need to know, I have a profit and loss here too. Hold on. So the most important financial statement for a new business is the profit and loss statement. We need to know this. We offer bookkeeping services, but for a new business, myself included, it's important for you to do it. I think it's important for you to do it yourself to start. So you need to have a close relationship with your numbers. And we have some Excel sheets and stuff that we can provide to get started. But if we're serious, we want to grow the business, we need to speak the same language as our tax preparer. If we plan to grow it and bring in investors and we want to go get loans and financing from the banks, we need to walk in there and speak the same language. So the only way we're going to do that is by practicing and by learning. We take an educational approach. So we have a lot of bookkeeping clients and they're busy running the businesses, but it's a requirement for us. We have restaurant owners that are working until 3 a.m. in the morning, but we make them come in to show them how to read their profit and loss statement. They need to know how much you're spending on their beer. They need to know how much you're spending on their food. They need to know what their sales tax are so they can put it away. And so they come in like hesitantly, like, oh, they're tired. They don't want to know. That's what I'm paying you for. But the biggest value you're going to get is for us to teach you how to read these and utilize it in your business. We can process all day long and spit it back out our clients, but there's no value in that. They need to understand it so that when they're ordering their beer, when they're ordering their food, they know how much to spend, they can choose their vendors, and they're not, I mean, it's just that it's only going to help the business grow.
I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but here's the thing. And I'm going to preface with why I'm going to ask. It's overwhelming to start a new business. And when you don't have experience, you get scared. And a little while ago, you said people look at this in reference to hiring a professional. They look at this like an expense rather than an investment. And it's that scarcity mentality. You know, we trim away things that are truly necessity and confuse them for luxury, like insurance, medical insurance, blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. And this is one of those things where, you know, one time my godfather gave me an example and he says, it's very important to get something that is being birthed new and mold it correctly so it doesn't grow crooked, you know, and I never forgot that statement. And this is one of those things. If you incorporate professional service as one of your startup, you know, fees and get guidance from the get-go, then you know that your business is being established correctly and you can get busy doing what you do, you know, working with what you work with. So my question is this, like, you know, what is the standard rate? And I know that it varies on the volume and workers and the amount of paperwork that you have to do, but what is the standard going rate for bookkeeping services or business planning? And I don't know if you're going to talk about that later, but just to get an idea.
We can. So in our office, our bookkeeping, so the thing is too, cost effectiveness. Like that's what I'm telling you guys with the S corporation, because I can sell S corps all day. Oh, you're going to see great savings, but it's not going to be cost effective for a client until they're netting $45,000. So anything that we sell or offer, it has to be cost effective for a client. I'm not going to take a micro business who's just starting and offer them, hey, you need full on bookkeeping. But that's not the way it worked. When I started on accounting paper and pen, right? Doing it myself. It wasn't until I was in year five that I brought on a bookkeeper because A, I couldn't afford it the first 5 years, and B, I had the time to do it. But as I got busier and I couldn't keep up my books, I hired somebody. So that's to be cost effective. Our bookkeeping monthly rate starts at $250 a month, and it depends on the industry. So somebody who's not transaction heavy, like who works with a lot of real estate offices, insurance offices, those are our $250s. If we're working with a restaurant that's very transaction heavy, that's going to be more of like a $350, $400 a month client. But that's okay. That's full on bookkeeping where they're coming in monthly. And I'm like, I have the new client. I gave the example of the restaurant. Those guys that we brought in, like they, when they come in now, they know what they're looking for. And they're excited because they're like, oh, they made their numbers. They know what they hit. They know how much they need to sell. They know how much they need to buy. And they're not guessing. And they know if they hit those numbers, that's much more profit they're going to take home.
Okay. So let's talk about hypothetically you in the first 5 years, and you said you do it yourself. What do you recommend? Or, you know, is there a program or is there like, do you offer a service where rather than you handling it, like, you know, like a monthly check-in or teach a class to teach people how to?
We do. So part of the new business, American Biz Builder is getting people set up from A to B. So we get people set up from like the initial consultation. What industry are you in? How much time are you spending on the business? Is this really going to turn into a business or is it more of a hobby? We get all that information from them and then we'll tell them, all right, you know what? You're a good fit for our starter plan. And it's going to be X amount per month. And or, you know what? Let's give you these resources. And then when you get to this point, then come back in and we'll be able to take you on. And then it'll be cost effective for you. So it all depends on those factors, like what stage they are in, what they have accomplished already, what's the revenue coming in right now. And then we go from there. But we do offer that. So, and that's the thing too, that I started this because we were just focusing on the taxes and the bookkeeping. I can do that all day long and give that back to the client. But if we don't have the building blocks that we just went over, then it's not congruent. Like we need both. And I'm like, I did it because I needed it. Like I've learned all these steps the last 10 years, and I have to do it myself. So if we can start these businesses off with all this information and the cornerstones, and I mean, they're just that more successful. We do offer more workshops. I'm trying to find my footing with the virtual stuff because I'm just in person. It just works so much better because I can read the crowd. I can know if I'm getting too technical and I'm losing somebody. especially with a bigger crowd like this, when we have 25 people, there's more engagement too. I think I'm strained, but anyways, it's more of a consultation. So they call, we do an assessment, get information from them, and then we can tell them, hey, we can do this for you. We can do this from you. Take these resources, and then we'll follow up within 30 days.
Is there a fee for your consultation?
For the new business, no. And we're going to offer you guys, everyone who's on this call right now, Magda, if you can either, we'll send you an email with our offer, with the link, okay, so they can book a consultation with us.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not for the initial consultation.
The reason why I mean, don't worry. I mean, everybody loves a good pitch. But I'm asking because we're under the pretense that everybody here is a baby or a startup in this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so we're not at the 45,000.
Yeah, I know.
Most of us are not at that rate. And so, you know, getting started on the right foot is important. So guys, if you are closer to starting your business than not, please let me get you that link. Like, don't be shy on asking. Everybody knows I'm pretty scattered. So if I don't get to you, don't be shy about hitting us up on Meetup or an email to the store to get you, the resource or the appointment, the offer that exists so you can go and get your business assessed and, you know, get a little stress-free.
Yeah. And then I guess to answer your question, so our price range, like if we're going to do a starter like DBA, EIN, and do a consultation of, hey, this is how you get your book started. You need to save these receipts for this long. That starts at $349. And then if we're going into the more complex, we're incorporating somebody, that goes up to $2,000. So $349 to $2,000.
Okay. I and it's a write-off.
Yes.
It's a write-off.
And that too, like I want to work with this because I get a lot of micro businesses that come in, and if they would have had this information or this service to start, they would be in a much better place. And this is, it's a gateway. Like, so a lot of our clients that are going to use this service are going to come back to us for taxes. When they're ready for bookkeeping, they're going to come back to us. If they need a space to work out of, they come to the collab. So the three businesses are kind of like, they're all married. They're all supposed to complement each other. And that's what our hope is. So I think I'm running a little bit short on time, but this is our profit and loss statement that we talked about, our most important financial statement. So this one is a mock one. This is a real estate office or a real estate agent, I'm sorry. And this is their 2019 income. So agents, they have, for the most part, they have two types of commission or two types of revenue. They're gonna have commissions on the sales of the home and they're gonna have referral fees. So this agent brought in $128,600 for the year. And this was their expenses, advertising, contract labor. So their net profit for the year was $110,000. This is what they're going to pay taxes on. So what I would have done with this client is met with them, if not monthly, every quarter, so that we know along the year what their profit looked like, so they can A, put the money away for taxes, or B, send it in, and or C, start implementing tax planning to reduce this number. But this is our profit and loss. We want to know. So this agent, now that he knows how much he profited, he can go in and say, you know what? I worked 48 weeks. Let me divide this 110 by 48 weeks, see how much I made a week, see how much I made a day, see how much I made an hour, and go from there. That's what I mean. This P&L is important. And opposite, if we're running at a loss, we need to know how much of a loss. And people, when we're excited with a new business, it's really easy to spend and invest and invest and throw good money after bad. And it's not until we see it in numbers that, oh my God, I'm $17,000 in the hole after 6 months. Like, we won't know that until we see this number down here. Or opposite, like if we worked our butts off all year and we only made $8,000, we want to know that too. So the P&L is where everything starts and everything ends. So that was our bookkeeping. And same thing, it just needs consistency. And everybody can start somewhere. I'll send information to, if you guys aren't following us yet, I'll go to our site. We do, this one's a newer one, but for the other businesses, we have a lot of information and resources on it. It's a practice. It takes consistency. It may not be fun, especially if we're tired or it's new. It can be frustrating, but it's important.
I had a question regarding, let's say when you have your business, will it affect your taxes, or how would it fall if you have three different things that you want to sell under? Would it have to be under one specific name, or?
No, not necessarily. So like with these businesses, I have three corps. And I did that because the first one with the tax business, it's me driving it. So this past 10 years, and that's the one that brings in the most revenue for me. So that's one I own 100%. The second one I opened, the collab, the second corp, I have two shareholders. I have two investors that came in. So that one I kept separate because that one we plan to either sell or franchise in 3 to 5 years. And then the third one, the newest one, the Americana Biz Builder, is incorporated. Right now I'm 100% owner, but the intention for this one is to build it up over the next 2 years and then sell it. So it all depends on what you want to do with the, whatever lines or whatever services or products you're offering. That's what I'm like, having your exit strategy in place. You can't do, like, I have clients who own 2 or 3 different businesses and they put it all under one corporation.
Okay, so it would have to be under one corporation. And then another thing that I wanted to know is, do you have to trademark, like, your business name in order for business taxes or whatnot?
No, so you don't have to trademark. People start trademarking when they have either... and I just had a meeting with a client and a trademark attorney, maybe like it was before COVID. So maybe 7-8 months ago, they have a newer brand, but they're not really necessarily a brand yet. Like it's their brand, but it's not, nobody's going to recognize it anywhere, but they were like really excited and eager. Like, hey, I want to brand this, but it's expensive. Like you got to pay an attorney to do it. You got to pay the filing fees to do it. So the attorney told him, you don't need it right now. You don't need to be trademarked right now. If in a year's time or 6 months time, like your brand is blowing up everywhere. There could be a risk of somebody like copying it. Then let's talk at that time and get those things in place. But trademark is different than incorporating. So trademark, you get done with the federal government. And then the corporation is with the state of California. I don't know if that answered, but trademark, in my opinion, is not necessary for a newer, smaller business. Unless it's like, patents is different too. But if it's just for logo stuff and name, that's not necessary. Because once you're incorporated, like Americana Tax Planning, nobody else in the state of California can incorporate under the name of Americana Tax Planning.
Got it. Thank you.
Uh-huh, no problem.
I have a question on that subject, I guess. Do you have a reference or anybody that you would recommend as far as trademarking or patenting for logos?
I do. So I work with several different attorneys, both as clients and as like referral. I do. So if you want to contact me, the email address is on here. If you want to contact me and let me know what exactly you're looking for, I can send you over the appropriate contact.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times too, myself included, sometimes we think we need like things that we don't need them yet. And that's why I work with the attorney too. She could have taken the fee and filed this paperwork, but she told him, you don't need this yet. So save your $1,500, you know, let's talk, contact me in 6 months and let's see where your brand and your logo is. And then if you need it then let's do it when it's cost effective for you. I think that's important because a lot of people, same thing like with LegalZoom, they sell these big fancy leather binders for like $150. You don't need that big fancy leather binder. Like, especially when we're starting a new business and we're bootstrapping, like let's be cost effective. But yeah, so I encourage everybody, take our information down. If you go into the Americana Biz Builder, you can actually book your consultation through the site. It's like the first thing that pops up. But I encourage everybody, if you're interested, go for it. Like there's nothing better than to be able to have the freedom to work for yourself. And if you're doing well, like to be able to realize those profits and, you know, it's great. There's a lot of responsibility with it. There's a lot of headache with it. But if you guys have these building blocks, like you guys will be set up the right way. And then it's an ongoing thing. It's like constant learning. I'll provide Magda with a list of resources too, of books to read. There's a lot of good, easy reads out there that are really informative and kind of like opens your brain up to things that we never knew or we never taught. And it changes our perspective on the business and on ourselves too. So I'm really, really big on like reading a lot about business development and even personal development too.
I had another question. I'm sorry. So my question is, let's say we have a side hobby right now. Obviously, it's not as big as we want to imagine it, which mm-hmm. hopefully one day it will be. But right now that is just a hobby or a side hustle. And I'm using sale or other forms of payment. Mm-hmm. How or will it affect my regular taxes that I file?
So if it's a hobby, then there's no need to report. You don't need to report it anywhere. If you're collecting ZAL payment, you just want to keep a separate record of yourself, for yourself, of what your actual revenue is. Because we use ZAL for like, oh, let me pay for breakfast or lunch or back and forth personal stuff. Whatever you get paid with for the business, you want to make start a separate spreadsheet or a notepad and say, okay, I got paid $50 for this, $70 for that, whatever it is. So that way you have that separate. But when you decide to take it from a hobby to a business, then you need to document all the income that comes in and all the expenses. And Zelle, Venmo, and what's the other one, Cash App, those are, it's not conducive to clean bookkeeping because we use it so much for personal stuff. And they don't print statements cleaning. They won't print a statement the way a bank statement comes out. So it's not conducive for that purpose. But if we're just starting out, like, and you guys try everything, as long as you're keeping records, like, use whatever you need to do. Sometimes if I need to get paid and someone doesn't have a credit card or cash, or okay, Venmo me. But I then give it to the bookkeeper and say, hey, make sure you put this in our books.
I have a question. Yeah. Only because it's come up a couple of times in this forum. If it's a hobby or you're starting small and you're starting from home and, oh, well, you don't need a business license yet or you don't need to report it yet, where is a good marker as to, oh, shit, this is a profitable hobby. We better get on paper before we get ourselves in trouble. You know, like, at what point do they level up?
I don't want to give a dollar amount. I think it's a personal thing. I think there's a lot of intention and energy behind it. Because I've had with this new business, like, I don't know how much money it's going to make this year. And I know my $45,000, but from the jump, I said, you know what? I'm building this business to sell it. I don't know if I'll make $45,000 in this business this year, but I'm going to incorporate it. And that's my intention. And that's my energy behind it. So it's a personal thing. I mean, if you're going to go for it, then go for it and get your DBA, get your EIN. As far as dollar amount, you're supposed to report self-employment income if you make over $400 a year.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, so it's nothing.
So on that account, on that, everybody should be reporting because that happens very quickly.
Unless it's considered a hobby. But so I know everyone here is just getting started and stuff, but like we work with a lot of newer businesses 3 to 5 years. And if you want to buy a house, if you want to finance a car, if you want to rent a building, you have to have all this stuff in place. You have to have all your finances in order. So the sooner you want to get that stuff accomplished, the sooner you have to get this foundation built.
So we could say that it's a profitable hobby for a while, right?
It depends. I mean, people can keep cash, like do a side hustle cash all you want, but if you want to grow it or put it on paper or finance or buy a house and stuff, you got to show it on, you got to report it.
I think, Crystal, that, you know, when are you going to stand behind it and say, okay, I am expanding this or growing this, or I want to make this my, you know, full-time job or dedicate myself to this. Like, I'm going to get this off the ground, because a little side hustle is different, right? Side hustle than to say, I want to grow a business or I want to grow it to the point where I'm just running it. Like, first I'm going to be hands-on in and build it. And eventually I want to franchise it, or I want to, you know, fill it with employees to help me. Like, how big is that? And so for that, I guess your long-term plan, your why, your mission statement, your exit plan, everything that she already talked about. And until you start to turn a profit that is regular and consistent, and you're like, okay, I'm grossing, let's just say, you know, I'm profiting $1,500 a month, you know, and now we're talking about a $12,000 a year or $15,000 a year, maybe you want to make this a little side business or whatever. Hypothetically speaking, like, I can't give you a dollar amount, but where are you going with it? What are you going to do with it? You know, and at that point you make a decision. However, from experience, I want to tell you that, you know, if you want to start a business, you energetically, you need to co-sign it. So are you going to open up your website? Are you going to get business cards? Are you going to open up a social media? You know, are you going to your website name, your social media platform names, your Venmo names, or whatever it is you decide to use, they should all match, because that has an imprint, that has a signature attached to it. And so treat it like it's real. Yeah, and then it will be.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. 100%. And I think it is, like, I know everybody here is like, we're very oriented towards like energy and intention and stuff. And it really is like, it is what it is. Like, if you go into it like full heart, like, hey, I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to do it, then you got to do it. Otherwise, like Magda said, like, if it's a side hustle, then that's the way it's going to treat you back. So if you guys have any other questions, I said, feel free to reach out to us anytime. If you guys, I don't know where everyone's coming from, but if you're in the area, we're here at the Collab Inc. in Uptown Whittier. We do have a featured vendor every Friday on our patio. So we're right here in the middle of Uptown Whittier. We have a lot of really good foot traffic on Fridays. So we've offered it to newer businesses that were just born during COVID. Micro businesses, we have them out front every Friday, not lots of natural foot traffic so that they can test the market. So they bring their products out here. Our best vendors are selling stuff between $5 and $15. We set them up here. We have a big platform up here for them already. So every Friday we have somebody up here and they're able to test the market, deal with clients for the first time a lot, and kind of just get their setup going and just test it out. So if anybody's interested in doing that, feel free to reach out here as well. We have a lot of networking in the Collab Inc. So if you guys want to come in and talk to other business owners or people just getting started, feel free to come in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We're here in Uptown. We're COVID compliant. And we also have the workstations. So if anybody needs to get out of the house and focus on the business, somebody wants to facilitate a workshop or film something or Zoom something, we also have a space for that too. So we're just really trying to be like a full circle platform here, and launch pad for businesses to get up and going.
On another note, on a personal note, I don't know where you guys are financially, but if there's a need, like, you know, part of my business relationship is Rose helped me with my taxes. And like I said at the beginning, you know, I went in really not having the proper structure. And, you know, luckily, I didn't get in trouble by any agencies, but I did get myself in a boatload of complications that I didn't need to be had I structured myself. And she was, it was an overwhelming process for me, but she was very informative, very helpful, helped me clean it up. I can successfully report that I am compliant. And then my next step is to be able to have her guide me, because something we didn't talk about here is that she can look at the business and help you expand, like by looking at all the paperwork and saying, okay, this is what we need to put in place. This is how we prepare you. And this is how you can move forward to hopefully hit the next tax bracket. Sorry about my dog, guys. And so if you, you know, I talk to people all the time before I had made that connection with her, and taxes are a problem, or your person isn't helping you, or, you know, you're unhappy with the services, but understanding why and how you got there is part of the problem and part of the solution. So when you do get informed, you know, we get on a personal level, we do our taxes, and then we're unhappy that we have to pay this much, and we don't understand what we could have done better in order not to. And even though this is a business builder, they're all relative and related. And so you have to clean up in order to, you know, move forward, you know, a little more solidified, a little better prepared. And so if you need, I know that that's not what she was promoting or what this class is about, but just as a personal reference, like, that's just who I give my business to now. And you know me, you know how I am. So if any of you need that, please feel free to contact her on whatever your questions are. You know, I'm sure that she would be more than happy to help you.
Yeah. Thank you. And it really is full circle. So it is, as Americans, we're never taught anything about taxes. Like, our country was founded to avoid paying taxes. And right now we have the highest taxes in the entire world. And we're never, it's designed like that. The IRS is the most powerful agency in the world. But Americans are never taught anything. So it can be an obstacle. But, and same thing with our office. Like, I want everybody to be comfortable in here. A lot of, we want everybody to be at ease. We want to get them to a place where they're, it's not causing anxiety or stress. And that's the approach that we take. That's how all of our preparers are. So if you do have questions or have anxiety behind it, like come in, we can talk it out. There's always a solution for everything. And just a matter of identifying what the issue is and then educating the client so that they can get it fixed.
But yeah, anybody have any questions, anything?
I have a really quick question. So I have a lot of receipts. I started my hobby or my business, we'll just say last year. And if I start get registered and get my sole business license or whatever it's called, all the receipts that I have, are they kind of valid? Do I just throw them away? Like, because I saved all my receipts of everything that I purchased just in case. So. Yeah.
So those can be considered startup costs.
Okay.
Hold on to them. And then that's a whole nother workshop we do too. So we do workshops on what to save, how long to save it, how to organize it, what the IRS wants to see, how to deduct vehicle expenses, how to claim a home office the right way. So that's more technical, but those are great questions that we need to know that kind of stuff. So get our information and then we'll start the future workshops that we have on those subjects. We'll make sure to invite you guys to. But if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can DM us, email us. Like I said, we do things like very informal. The more information we can share based on like my failures and obstacles and struggles and my clients, let us help you. So yes, thank you guys for having me. Good luck to everybody. If you guys are going to do it, congratulations and the best of luck to everybody.
Okay. I don't know where you guys are in your startup thing. I don't know if energetically there is any way that I could help, paperwork wise, back at some point. We talked to Malika about stocks and investing. I really want this to happen for you. So I don't know where the holes are, but if you need something and I can help provide it, like use your crystals, grid up, manifest, use your vision boards, use your candles. Like this is who you guys are, and what people don't understand is witchy people like us have an advantage. So don't be shy about using that, to your advantage energetically. Don't forget about dirt from the bank. Okay. Don't forget about your coins. Your first change of the year is super, super important. I don't know how many of you were online with me last year at the end of the year, but I was thinking about that the other day, like the fact that we had to use a machete. Do you remember that we had to use a machete and a red candle for war? Like who would have thought, right? Your money, save your monies. Like it's going to be funky. Work with magnets, work with bank dirt, work with red candles, green candles, take a lot of herbal green baths. Like parsley is really good for money. If you don't underestimate the power of the herbal section where the cilantro, the rosemary, the albahaca, all of that is, the basil in the market, go ahead and use that and use aromatic baths. Herbs are warm, are heat, they produce, and so you set your intention for that. And that's what you want to do. Like, don't forget who we are. These are technical components, because if you want you can't work or manifest something spiritually on spirit and wishes alone. You have to help yourself. And so you do the paperwork part, you do the physical part, you get yourself organized, you get yourself focused, and then you bring in the spiritual side and you're a bomb ready to go off and make things happen. So if you need something, let's get ready to rumble. October is my season and that's when I come back, even if I disappear for the whole year. So I'll be back to get us ready for the end of the year and the beginning of next. So wait for me, but don't hold your breath, but I'm coming. Okay. Any questions for me? Anything I can help you with? Okay.
So my question is how can we figure out what we really want to do? Like if you have like a bunch of ideas, and you have different stuff you really like doing, but what do you suggest that we could do to really narrow it down?
Here's the thing, the part that the fact that you're even confused already talks to me about fear, because I would dip my hand in certain things until whatever popped off, you know, my mom used to be super critical of me, of the fact that I was always changing jobs. Your sisters have been in the same job for 17 years, blah, 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 blah. And I did real estate, and I worked for an orthopedic surgeon, and I worked for attorneys, and I did loans, and blah, blah, blah. And so now, guess who has a little bit of answers about real estate, and who knows a little bit about law, and who knows a little bit about this? And so, you know, don't be intimidated. You have to be careful. You have to be cost effective. But, you know, and then don't underestimate the spirit of the power of prayer and meditation and asking your guides to come in and to clarify and to help you, because artists think, ooh, I'm so talented. Musicians, ooh, I'm so talented. No, you got a spirit who is artistic and was artistic, or a professor, or teachers have spirits that were teachers. You know, like that's the influence of, and then we're in alignment. And don't be afraid. You know, I would say, what are you naturally good at? Like, what comes easy? What are you naturally good at? And how can you start to monetize on that? Start with that, you know, because when you work for yourself, you work harder than ever, and harder than you work for anybody else. But the hours just go by, and you're not making people rich. You're hopefully making yourself rich, you know? And so it's a different exchange. You know, you have a say so in hours. So don't be afraid to start. And you can always get a reading and get some clarification. Choice A, choice B, choice C, and why? Which one's better and why?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Marcia. Go make some money. Go make dreams come true.